Purport. It is said that the absolute truth is one, but it is manifested in different features as Brahman, Paramatma, and Bhagavan. The previous verses described the Brahman and Paramatma features of the absolute truth. Now, this prayer is offered and used in this regard are Sakala Sattvata Parivrida, the devotee of the Lord with their lotus hands. The devotees may sometimes not be competent to serve the lotus feet of the Lord, and therefore the Lord is addressed as Parama Parameshtin. He is the supreme. No one is competent to serve the Lord, but even if a devotee is not competent, the merciful Lord accepts the humble attempt of the devotee. Okay, so this is the last verse in the mantra that was given to King Chitraketu by Narada Muni. And this mantra was meant to be chanted so that Chitraketu could be able to see the Lord in 7 days, Lord Shankarshan or Anantadev. So the previous verses, as described in the purport, different aspects of the Lord, his independent nature, how he interacts, how his position in relation to the jivas, and just different things like that. This verse gets into a little bit more. Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur describes this verse is describing the Lord giving rasa. So now there's a relationship, like a more specific relationship mentioned in this verse of the devotee of the Lord being massaged by his pure devotees. His two lotus feet are being massaged by the pure devotees. And then the hint by this mantra, or this particular verse, is that please also engage me in the service of massaging your lotus feet. And then Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur does his dialogue thing. Then he says that the Lord could respond, like let's say an aspiring devotee wants to massage the lotus feet of the Lord. The Lord could respond, but you are so low. And the service is so high, massaging my lotus feet. So, you know, I don't know about this request. So then the aspiring devotee, or the devotee who wants to massage the Lord's lotus feet, could say, well, you're Parameshtin, Parama Parameshtin. You can do that which nobody else can do. So you can allow me to serve you. So in that way, the devotee defeats the Lord. And he gets a chance to massage his lotus feet. So one of the interesting lines in the purport that I thought was kind of cool was the sentence, the devotees who also have lotus feet serve the lotus feet of the Lord with their lotus hands. I don't know, it's interesting how they point out how it seems like there's something special, one, about the lotus feet of the Lord, and then two, the lotus feet of the devotees. Because Prabhupada went through that effort to point out that, hey, the devotees also have lotus feet. So I thought that was an interesting thing to kind of look more into, was the difference between, or comparison. I thought it'd be do a fun little exercise to compare and contrast the lotus feet of the devotees and the lotus feet of the Lord. And I don't know. So that's kind of where my thoughts went when I was preparing for this class. I didn't have much time, but I put together something. I didn't memorize it, so I'm going to have to look at notes today. So first, I was thinking we can look at the lotus feet of the Lord. It's described that the lotus feet of the Lord are the shelter of all places of pilgrimage. That, you know, the Lord is the Lord's described in the Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as Pavanam Pavananam. You know, he's the purifier of all purifiers. He's the most purifying thing. And this also applies to his lotus feet. So one who gets a chance to associate with his lotus feet or interact with his lotus feet in any way, he becomes purified because the Lord is all purified. So one, the The Lord's lotus feet is the shelter of all places of pilgrimage. That's described, I think, in the Bhagavatam time. Two, the Lord's lotus feet is like the most purifying thing, you know, because the Lord is purifier of all purifiers. And third is that one can directly associate with or come in contact with the lotus feet of the Lord by constant absorption in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord. So those devotees who are engaged in constant hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, they are in direct contact with the Lord's lotus feet. That's one of the cool aspects about the Lord's lotus feet. And what's even cooler than that is that when devotees are engaged in hearing and chanting and glorifying the Lord in Sankirtan, the Lord is also personally present. So it's kind of cool. He's like doubly present. He's present in the holy name, like the devotees are getting together and chanting his holy name. He's present in the holy name. And he's also doubly present because he personally comes. So the Lord is there in his name and he's personally present. So an example of this was when the gopis were doing their kirtan in the forest of Vrindavan. And Krishna was overhearing this and he couldn't help himself to like want to listen to it. So he hid behind a tree. And he just kind of was overhearing the kirtan of the gopis in the forest. So this is the Lord's lotus feet. I thought these are cool little points. They're super purifying. They're shelter of all places of pilgrimage. And one can directly associate, come in contact with the Lord's lotus feet by engaging in hearing and chanting about the Lord. So it's kind of cool. Yeah, becoming absorbed in hearing and chanting about the glories of the Lord, or just hearing and chanting about the Lord. So, okay, so that's some things about the Lord's lotus feet. Now there's a bunch of things written about the devotee's lotus feet, which I thought was kind of cool too. So the first thing to consider when we're talking about the devotee's lotus feet is that not all lotus feet are equal when it comes to the devotees of the Lord. There's, you know, not all devotees are on the same level of purity. So it's described that the potency of the devotee's lotus feet is proportionate to the selfless purity of their devotion. And there's a proportion. If you're, the more pure you are, the more powerful your lotus feet are. So, and because they describe, and the Bhagavatam says that Prahlad Maharaj is the best devotee, and there's a quote there. And then, but in the Laghu Bhagavatamrita by Rupa Goswami, he kind of gives like a whole gradation of devotees, from Prahlad Maharaj being the best, but even better than him is the Pandavas, even better than the Pandavas are the Yadavas. And among all the Yadavas, Uddhava is the best, and Uddhava himself, he's thinking that the gopis are best. The gopis are even better than Uddhava. And then among the gopis, Radharani is the best. So you can't, it's not exactly that all of the pure devotees have the same potency in their lotus feet. There's like a different potency when it comes to the lotus feet of the gopis versus perhaps the lotus feet of Prahlad Maharaj. But nevertheless, a pure devotee is a pure devotee. And we shouldn't like disrespect any devotees or anything. And the pure devotees' feet are still nonetheless totally worshipable, and they are super potent. So there's some, I've found some scriptural glorifications of the pure devotees' lotus feet. So Krishnadas Kaviraj, he describes the lotus feet of pure devotees as Mahabala, very powerful. And this is the same word that is used to describe Lord Balaram's strength, Mahabala. And it's also the same word used to describe Lord Chaitanya's mercy. So that tells you something about the pure devotee's lotus feet. Then Shukadeva Goswami says that without the dust of the lotus feet of the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, one's body is just it's as good as a dead body. There's not much use to it unless one gets that dust. Or then Jodh Bharata, he said, observing celibacy, following rules of householder life, leaving home for the forest, accepting the renounced order of life, or undergoing severe penances is utterly futile unless one smears his entire body with the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. Without attaining this mercy, perfection remains a far distant dream. So that's tells you something about the greatness of the dust of the lotus feet of the great devotees. Vritrasura, he's another one who commented about the lotus feet of the devotees, said when death is imminent, Vritrasura prayed for the dust of the lotus feet of those who always think of the Lord. So something so important that he prayed for it at the time of death. Brahma, Lord Brahma, he wanted to be born. I don't remember where this is from, but there's a pastime where Lord Brahma wanted to take birth as any living entity in the forest of Vrindavan so that he could get the dust of the residents who live in Vrindavan. It's in Krishna book, yeah. So Brahma wanted to do this, and also Uddhava wanted to do this. He wanted to take birth as a creeper in Kusum Sarovara so that he can constantly be blessed by the dust from the lotus feet of the gopis. So this is his aspiration. So that there's something perhaps special about the dust of the lotus feet of great devotees. So one can do a little transcendental comparison between the dust of the Lord, or the lotus feet of the Lord, or the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord, and the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord's great devotees. So which one is better? Which one is better? Which one would you rather have? The dust of the Lord's great devotees, or the dust from the Lord's lotus feet? The devotees. Why is that? Because they're more merciful. Okay. That's a good answer. So in order to get the mercy of the Lord, one has to be able to respect the Lord's children, all the devotees. That's another good point, is that you can't really get the lotus dust from the feet of the Lord without getting the dust from the Lord's devotees. Another good point. So these are good answers. Yeah, definitely the Lord's. You have another one? Okay, sure. Yeah, I don't remember. Right. Okay, well, it's in the Madhya Lila of Chaitanya Charitamrita, so you can read through that and you'll find that. Find out where that verse is. Google it, yeah. So, yes, the Lord's devotees are more merciful than the Lord. It's described that, you know, as I was last week or 2 weeks ago, I was describing that the Krishna doesn't associate with those who are personally, he doesn't associate with those who aren't already pure. He usually reserves his personal association with his pure devotees. You remembered it? 11, Madhya Lila, chapter 11, verse 28. You can get that verse. Oh, okay. Cool. So in the sense that the devotees are more merciful than the Lord, so getting the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees of the Lord, there's something to that, especially for us who need purification, that it's more purifying for us, for example. Another reason why the Lord's the dust from the feet of the Lord's devotees is perhaps better than the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord is that it's the lotus feet the dust from the lotus feet of the great devotees is actually more purifying than the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. And to prove this, we can think of it's actually a fact that the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees, it can purify the Ganges, the river Ganges, which have already been touched by the lotus feet of the Lord. You know, because how the origin of the Ganges is that Lord Vamanadeva poked his hole through the whole of the universe, and the Viraj River came through and it washed the Lord's lotus feet, and then it came to earth. So you would think that that water's already super pure because it already got purified by the Lord's lotus feet. But it's described that there's a little pastime of the Ganges kind of hesitation to come to earth. There's this one king, King Bhagiratha, who is wanting the Ganges to come to earth. So he performed all kinds of austerities and penances and things. And then he pleased Mother Ganga. So then Mother Ganga appeared to him in his meditation or whatever, and King Bhagiratha said, "Would you please come to earth?" And Mother Ganga was like, "I don't know if I want to go there because people are very sinful, especially in the age of Kali on earth. And I'm afraid that they're just going to dump all their sinful reactions in me. And how am I going to become freed of all these sinful reactions?" So then King Bhagirath, being like a pretty wise devotee, he said, "Well, don't worry about that. There's also going to be pure devotees that are going to be bathing in your waters, and they'll purify your waters of even all the sinful reactions of all the people that bathe, other people that bathe in your rivers." So that's kind of perhaps an example how the devotee's lotus feet can purify the Ganges even perhaps more so than the lotus feet of the Lord. And there's some quotes to back this up too. So from the Padma Purana, it says that the water that has washed the devotee's feet is equal to 10 million places of pilgrimage, which is also equal to regularly bathing in the Ganges. And in Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, "Great devotees can immediately sanctify those who take shelter of them, but the Ganges purifies only after prolonged use." That's the benefit of the devotees, they can immediately purify you, whereas it takes a while if you just bathe in the Ganges. And then in Narottam Das Thakur's Pratana, he says that seeing a great devotee once is more effective than repeatedly bathing in the Ganges. So there's certainly something special about the pure devotees, and especially the dust from the pure devotee's lotus feet. So another reason why the lotus feet of the devotees are better than the lotus feet of the Lord is because that even Krishna, he can draw benefit from the dust of the lotus feet of his devotees. And then the very famous example of this is when Krishna had a headache. And the only thing that could cure Krishna's headache is the dust from the pure devotee's feet. And then, then nobody would give their dust except for the gopis. And then they were like the most surrendered. But it's interesting because the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees, Krishna benefits from it in two, well, three ways. One, it can cure his headache. So that's one way that Krishna benefits from the lotus feet of his devotees, from the dust from the lotus feet of his devotees. Second is that Krishna, he uses that dust from the lotus feet of the devotees for the purpose of purification of the material worlds. Like, Krishna himself doesn't get so involved with the material world personally, but he says, but he still has a desire to purify the material worlds. So he does that function of purifying the material worlds through the agency of the dust of his lotus feet, of his devotees. So that's one second reason, second way that the Lord benefits from the dust of the lotus feet of the devotees. And then the third way is that it allows for Krishna himself to experience love of God, love for himself. Because Krishna is so used to being the one everybody loves. Everybody's directing their love to Krishna, and Krishna is the lovable one, or the one who's getting so much love. And that's pretty nice, but it's described that the pure devotee, specifically the love that Radharani has for Krishna, it's 10 million times more intense, more blissful than the love Krishna experiences by being loved by his pure devotees. So Krishna is naturally hankering after that love. Like, oh, I want to taste what that's like to be able to love me, like my devotees, because they're experiencing more bliss than I am. So he comes as Lord Chaitanya, and as Lord Chaitanya, he's a devotee of the Lord, and in order to be able to get the lotus feet of the Lord, one needs to get the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees. So it's in fact that it's the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees is the thing that is allowing the Lord to be able to experience that love for himself. And it's described that when Krishna appears, he in his form as a devotee, he acts like, he does all the he adopts the form and the practices of a devotee. But when it comes to the principle of following in the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord's devotees, he assumes the role of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He doesn't assume the role so much as his devotee, but he assumes the role of the Lord. And then as the Lord, he is really interested in the dust of his devotees. But other aspects of him adopting the form of the devotee, it's the form of the devotee of the Lord that's doing all those things, all the practices and following the rules and regulations and setting the example. But when it comes to getting the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord, he's the Lord. He's not just acting like a devotee. So one quote for this, Madhvacharya, he says that, and I'll end with this. Madhvacharya says, as the Lord walks behind his pure devotees, so the Lord is following his pure devotees, a wind blows the dust of the Lord's lotus feet in front of his devotees, who become purified by contact with that transcendental substance. So it's really interesting. The Lord is following his devotees, but the wind is blowing the Lord's dust in front of the devotees, so that the devotees will walk on the Lord's dust. The devotee will get the Lord's dust, and then the Lord will get the devotee's dust that they got from the Lord. And then it's kind of like this circle, right? So it's kind of like this super potent thing going on with the dust from the lotus feet of the devotees and the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. So anyway, that's all I prepared. So if there's any discussion on this, we can do that now. Otherwise, we can have a nice short class and do something else. Yeah, should I bother you? Go ahead. You can go ahead.
Hare Krishna, thanks for a nice class. So, brain freeze. This kind of goes back to the original point. It's not necessarily related. It's actually related. The end part I'm thinking of is related to exactly the class you gave today. But But the first part I would like to discuss basically is related to kind of the Gita Jayanti today and book distribution. It's pretty much all related, and I just kind of wanted to mention some of the things I've learned from people over the years, whether Chandramali Maharaj or Sir, and because it's things that I've never forgot. I don't know why, but they're kind of essential points that I'm fortunate enough to have remembered, you know, by, of course, Krishna's mercy. So the first point is that I remember Sir bringing up the point that, you know, sometimes in the Gita is very confusing. Krishna says sometimes you're the doer and sometimes you're not the doer. So we're kind of confused, which one is it? So the point he made was that, you know, when we become proud, let's say, I'll use this example, especially in regards to the book Marathon. It doesn't matter what service it is, but I'll just use an example. When we become proud, let's say book distributing books, then Krishna says you're not the doer. I'm the doer. And so then when we want to neglect our duty, either due to fear or the burden becomes too much, the sacrifice, or whatever reason, we become melancholy, then Krishna says, you are the doer. You have to do your duty. You know, you have to sacrifice, etc. So I was telling this point to Chandramali Maharaj, and he really, really appreciated this answer. And this actually goes to the point of a related point that Chandramali Swami answered one particular question I had a long time ago. I forgot what it was, but the answer was very nice related to this point. He says in our, like I said, book distribution, but any service, he said when we're distributing books, you know, we may be attached to the results if we're a good book distributor or the prestige that comes from it. But if we're attached to the prestige or the results and not the service itself, then when the prestige or results go away, the devotional service goes away also. So we should be attached, you know, not to the service and not to the results and prestige. And so I thought this was a very illuminating point. You know, we're so often, you know, when we do something well, you know, we like to seek our own glories. Just like you were quoting that verse from, I think it was 23:23 or whatever from the Bhagavatam, seeking the lotus feet of the Lord, something like that. And so this brings to mind when Luke actually, when he was at Loyola, a few weeks ago, he gave a presentation to the students, and he said there are three types of gurus: the Chaita Guru in the heart, the Siksha Guru, and the Diksha Guru. And so I was contemplating on this point, and I was thinking, Maya is also our guru. So when we read verses like this, like seek the lotus feet dust of the devotees, you know, then Maya tells us, take your own lotus feet and seek your own glories. And so that's why in the beginning of the Gita, chapter 1.1, Prabhupada says you have to read this Gita along with another devotee, so Maya won't, you know, give you misinterpretations of what it is, because we're always kind of trying to seek our glories, you know, our own glories, and therefore we can never be satisfied. And so this reminds me of one thing I heard from some Christian preacher a while ago, but basically the spirit of honor. We're so quick to, you know, we're very generous with our criticisms and our fault finding, especially behind people's back, but we're not so generous, you know, with the spirit of honor, to honor others, because especially if we're in a particular field like book distribution, you know, we don't want to honor somebody who's in our field because it may make us look bad. I remember doing book distribution for one of the first times, and I saw Prachak Prabhu. We came kind of around the same time, and he was distributing books like flyers. So I was thinking, you know, God, I hope he doesn't distribute more than me. So in that sense, I told this to my brother and to Prachak, you know, because, you know, naturally under the most material nature, we're going to think like that. And so we're very, very generous with our criticism, and, you know, we withhold our spirit. But as the Bible says, or the Gita says, as you sow, so you weep. If you, you know, very generous with your honors, then, you know, that'll enable you to receive the mercy of the Lord, and you'll be more satisfied. And so this brings to mind a couple of things, my last two points I want to make. It was a quote Mother Teresa said. She said something to the extent, kindness converts more people than zeal, science, or eloquence. Zeal, science, or eloquence. Kindness converts people more than zeal, science, or eloquence. And the last quote, I actually wrote it down. I have it in my pocket, but it's a point that Luke made a long time ago, he quoted Mother Teresa in one of our Loyola meetings, and Jagadananda Prabhu just a few weeks ago actually quoted the end of that verse. So, and I was thought it was a very, potent verse that's very relevant, especially to this book distribution marathon. So I have it in my pocket, so I have it ready. It's pretty long, so I can't remember it. So I'll just read it. It's a very nice quote. So it came up like twice or three times before, so I'll write it down. All right, here we go. It's Mother Teresa says, "If you are kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. If you find happiness, people may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today may be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. For you see, in the end, it is between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." So that's the end of the quote. So that's all I have to say. So thank you for allowing me to run my mouth again. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. It's a nice poem. I also like that very much. One quick thing about what Jai Baladeva was saying about, about the lotus feet of, like, you might think you're a devotee or a great devotee, so great. Oh, that's convenient. My lotus feet are right here. I can get the dust and I'm good to go. That doesn't work so well. It doesn't even work for the Lord, because when the Lord was a baby, he used to suck his toe, because everyone's worshiping his lotus feet. So he used to like suck his toe to see like what's everyone so up, why does everybody think my lotus feet are so great? So he used to suck his toe. But that wasn't as satisfying for the Lord as getting the lotus feet of the Lord's, of the devotees of the Lord. So unfortunately, the potency, if you can't get your own lotus dust from the lotus feet, that's the one drawback. Even if you're the Supreme Lord, it doesn't work that way. Yeah.
Yeah, just to add on with the Jai Baladeva Prabhu's point, that Krishna's mercy is flowing unlimitedly until we are simple and humble with our service. But if we try to prove ourselves as, okay, we are doing great in any service, not even in book distribution, any service, Krishna will definitely take it away. For example, there was a story where there was a hippie who immediately came in the temple, and he was druggist, he was drinking a lot, and the devotees were always forcing him out, that you don't come in the temple, you're not good for anything. And Prabhupada the other said that, no, he's a good person, let him stay in the temple. And the devotee first brought him from the dumpster. He was in the garbage, he was staying over there. And he was just like Jad Bharat, he was not saying anything. He was coming in the temple when Prabhupada was speaking, he was staying in the one corner, sleeping. Devotees tried to push him out. Prabhupada said, no. One day they thought that let him engage in some service. And they took him to the book distribution and they gave him a bag of a book, whole bag. And they went in the morning, 9 o'clock, and 5 o'clock they again returned to the van, and there was no books in his bag. And they thought that, okay, he's a druggist, so he might have sold the book for the drugs. So they let him, "Why did you sell the book for the drugs? You're hopeless. You're this. No. I didn't do anything. People took all the books from me. How can the people? We are expert book distributor. We are doing book distribution from so many years, and we hardly got few books in this environment. How can the people take a books from you? I was just telling that this book has saved me. This book has saved my life. Please take it." And it was from my heart. That's it. The Krishna is looking that. Is it from your heart or is it coming from somewhere else? When we go for the airports, Prabhu, it's such a difficult thing. You can't even stop a single person. But if you're humble and simple over there, the books flows like anything. But if you try to show off, nothing. You can't even distribute one book.
Yeah, I think with that story is actually he said that Prabhupada saved me. Which is, I guess, through the books. But Prabhupada himself, he got the dust of Prabhupada in that sense, because he was, somehow, and they got the association of Prabhupada, and Prabhupada cast his merciful glance on him, and And when he went out and distributed books, he said, Prabhupada saved me. And then just because of getting the dust from Prabhupada and being so sincere after that, yeah, many books went out. Was his name Crazy Pete or something? Or he was a different one. Kushikra. Oh, yeah, that was a different devotee. That's also similar, but I don't remember the name of this devotee. But I heard that story before.
Thank you. But the essence of the whole story is that we have to be very simple in what we are doing. Krishna knows our purity. We don't have to show off what we are doing. And if Krishna sees our sincerity, he will give you unlimited opulence and unlimited thing which you don't even know what we are getting.
Yeah, thanks for sharing. Okay, anything else? Yeah, thanks for reminding me. Today is Gita Jayanti, so later today we'll be chanting the Bhagavad Gita at 3, led by Mukunda Raghunath. So it'll be pretty exciting. 3 to 6, we'll be chanting the Bhagavad Gita here in the temple room. So, chance for us to get chanting about him, hearing and chanting his words. That's how we get the dust from the lotus feet of the Lord. And the Lord's devotees will be there too, so maybe you can get their dust while you're at it. So, okay, thank you very much. You're the Prabhupada Ki Jai. Okay, and we also have our Brahmachari meeting downstairs now, so let's come. Three o'clock.
As soon as it does. Okay.